Episode 321.
Well, there's a saying in Washington, D.C., and I lived for 15 years outside the Beltway, okay, and we have a Washington representative. And there's a saying in D.C., if your interests are not at the table, they're probably on the table. And that is the crucial role that associations like ASA play in the industry.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, hello, Aftermarket Tribe. Thanks for joining me for today's show. I'm your host, Carm Capriato, and happy to present another roundtable recorded at Vision 2018. Now, here we're talking about the value in association membership. This was a lively, open, and transparent discussion that I'm positive you'll learn something new about associations. We get into membership dues, return on investment, which looks like it's a no-brainer. We talk legislation that's more important than you'll ever realize. We talk PMVI, periodic motor vehicle inspections, and some stunning revelations about technology. Thanks to Federal Mogul Motor Parts for making this interview possible. When you need to search for parts, get the latest technical updates, or sign up for some Garage Rewards loyalty program swag for techs and shops, go to fmmotorparts.com. Your emails are the fuel that power the engine of Remarkable Results Radio, and I love to hear from you on how the interviews and academies are making a difference for you. So find a few moments in your hectic day and sit at the keyboard and send me an email on just how the content library is helping you. I can only hope that you find the inspiration to help you on your own remarkable pathway to success. It's easy to remember my email, carm@remarkableresults.biz. Hey, if you missed the live version of the Town Hall Academy single subject lessons, find everyone at remarkableresults.biz/academy or on your podcast subscription service. Every Academy episode starts with a THA, which signifies Town Hall Academy. Hey, we're connecting every day and finding new members of the Lifelong Learner Tribe. Welcome new Facebook friends, Andy Gavin, Rocky Kamenian, Nick Jones, Devin Kelly, Summer Guerrero, and Chris Martino. And new to the LinkedIn team, Bart Lind, Dave Market, Joshua Eddy, and Rob Overman. It's an honor to make your connection. I have a convenient page where every social link is remarkableresults.biz/social. Now, my guests for this enlightening association roundtable are Tony Mala, Vice President, ASA, the Automotive Service Association, Dave Cusa, owner of Auto Trend Diagnostics, San Francisco, California, past president of Automotive Service Councils of California, ASCCA, and a member of ASA, and Dana Cosby, membership director at ASA. Find the talking points and links to previous episodes that my guests have been on. See the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E321. Hey, if you're not an association member, it's time. National and statewide organizations need your membership, and you need the association. Once you get done with this listen, you'll understand the value and importance of association membership, and links to ASA and ASCCA are on the show notes page. Enjoy. Hey, we're back in the Vision 2018 studio here at Vision Kansas City, and I'm here to welcome Dana Cosby, Membership Director at the Automotive Service Association, ASA. Hi.
Hi.
And Tony Mala, the Vice President of Automotive Service Association, ASA again. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Carl.
Hey, you've been on before. Glad to have you back. ASAshop.org is the website for your organization. We also have Dave Cusa, podcast alumni, immediate past president of the Automotive Service Councils of California, and owner of Auto Trend Diagnostics in San Jose, California.
Hello, Carm. Thanks for having us.
Hey, glad to have you here, man. ASCCA.com. I've been in your building.
You have.
In California. I did a town hall live.
That's
from
right, with
there.
My gavel.
Yes. What a great story. ASA's got some great social stuff going on, and if we have time at the end, we should talk about that. I had the luxury of taking a picture with Dave's gavel, because Dave doesn't own his gavel. It just seems to find legs and walks around. We're here to talk about the value of associations to the service professional. We've got great organizations in our country, and never before, Tony, do I believe we need to embrace associations, just like we need to embrace business coaches, just like we need to embrace 100 hours of training. our industry is just rapidly in expansion, a lot of opportunities, consolidation. We need help from all areas. And that's what we're here to talk about. How do associations fit? What do they do? What kind of value do they bring? And, boy, just before we turn on the mics, you gave me this incredible story that proves, without a shadow of a doubt, how technology in the automobile is changing.
What I told you was that I had read just last week that for the first time, the cellular providers who provide the connections for cell phones reported that last year, 2017, they actually signed up more vehicles with cellular connections than they did cell phones. And that is indicative of the magnitude of the technological revolution that's going on within the industry. You know, in many ways, associations have never been more important. And that's true for a bunch of different reasons, but certainly technology is driving a lot of it.
When Tony told me that, by the way, I had to stop and think about it. And so I just want everybody to think about it. They signed up more cars than smartphones. In my mind, I just come up with the connected car, the Wi-Fi hotspots, the connectivity with telematics.
A lot of people say, well, so what? Okay. Well, that has a direct implication for the repair shop because the connectivity issue, telematics, we've heard about. This cybersecurity, there are individuals in Washington, D.C. right now writing legislation that will control the information flow being generated by the vehicle. Who owns it? Where does it go? How is it used? These are all questions that are being decided. Information is the most important resource we have and we need, the most important tool we need within the shop to repair modern vehicles. And again, associations are the ones who are interacting with these folks in Washington, D.C. to make sure that the interests of the repair community are not lost in the shuffle when they're trying to legislate privacy and cybersecurity concerns.
I heard a great story. They took a SIM card out of a phone. I heard this I don't know if it's true or not, but it was a great article. Last night I was kind of at a barbecue, and they said they took the SIM card out, they turned it on airplane mode, and they took it up to a think tank, and it apparently spewed out 88 megabytes of information, and it's off, totally off modes as to where it was, what the phone was doing, the inertia things. And it was able to track the vehicle even though it wasn't turned on to do it. And did you ever bump into Google? It says, do you know where you were last month? And it'll draw it on the map, all the breadcrumbs of where you were, if you have tracking and location thing on it. It's scary. Now, go watch Forensic Files and see if you can get away with anything. We are in this incredibly faster-than-life moving technology arena, and we can't sit back, which is why we need partners in the form of associations. And when you guys say partners, you're really talking membership.
For the most part.
Okay.
Yeah. There are others that support the mission of the associations. The members are certainly a key part of that and in many ways the most important part. But we have other partners. I think, Dave, you and I were talking earlier about some of the associates that we have that support the industry.
Yeah, and we have both, ASCCA, ASA, and other associations around the country have great industry partners that help with financial support, which is huge. Our dues structure would not be enough to support all the work that our associations do. So we are fortunate that we have our great tool suppliers and parts suppliers and coaches and trainers internet people, SEO people, website designers, so on and so forth that make the commitment to support our associations not only with their fantastic products but with their financial resources.
You can't do it without them, right?
There's no way. Yeah,
and sometimes our partners, I'm sure yours is the same way, not only are they helping us financially and helping our members, but some of our partners provide free training, provide free resources to our members to help them be more successful in their business.
What's it take to recruit? You're the membership lady. What's it take to recruit new members? What can we do? I mean, what doors can we knock on?
The first thing I always ask is I ask our current members, tell your friends. You know the people who are the shops that we want to be a part of our association. We like to say with ASA that our members are the best and most professional auto repair shops in the industry. That's who our members are. And so asking our members to share who's another member in your area, another shop in your area that, could be a part of that, could join us. And a lot of times what happens is, you know, someone who's a really good shop manager, is really good at fixing your car, may not be a really good salesman or public speaker. And so they may be hesitant to go and talk to their friend and say, hey, would you join? And say, so what I ask is, share that information with me, and then that's what my job is as a membership director, is to go out and reach out to those people.
Is the membership growing?
We are now. We're trying, you know, we're on a growth path now. Our membership has been kind of steady for the last couple of years, but that's been because of some internal things. We haven't really been recruiting.
But steady's good, right?
Steady's
good, and you're always out there searching and growing. Tony, do the partners that Dave kind of alluded to, do they help you grow membership, or are they just there for their financial support and for any rewards that they can offer?
The financial support is very important, no question about it. But actually, one of our top recruiters is one of our sponsored benefit providers. I won't say which one. That is part and parcel of what Dana's job is, as far as you finding new ways to reach out and communicate with folks. You know, baby boomers are used to reading magazines, not so much any of the other generations. So you really have to communicate with them, not just in one way. That's why we have, you know, SEO specialists and others that are involved in the electronic communication.
Perfect. So my question is, what kind of benefits do the partners provide? I mean, be as generic as possible. Is it insurance? Is it parts programs? Is it uniforms?
All of the above and more. We have partners that are will help you design your website, partners that will help you with wage and hour issues, partners that will help you with all aspects of what it takes to run a successful repair business these days. There's someone out there who's willing to provide a service or a product that will help you provide better service to your customers, more reliable replacement parts, warranties. Pretty much the sky's the limit. But support is the answer to your question. The support that we get from our partners, not just in the services and the products they provide, which are, of course, important. You know, everybody's used to getting benefits when they join an association. But it's become much more than that. And again, one of the most crucial things that we do these days really is on the legislative front. Again, Dave and I were talking about that earlier, because you're busy running your business. You don't have time to keep up with what's going on at the state level that you're in, but certainly not at the national level. So we like to say we've got your back while you're running your business.
You said it earlier, they're writing legislation every day. Years ago, I was sat down by a very important mentor to me, and he looked at me and pointed his finger and he says, and never forget the government's your partner, like it or not. And so you have to be involved in knowing what they're doing, because if you let your partner run amok and you don't open your mouth and say anything, which to me I look at is the single most important part. In a local level, you may not believe that ASA needs to have a presence in Washington, but you have to be there for us.
Well, there's a saying in Washington, D.C., and I lived for 15 years outside the Beltway, okay, and we have a Washington representative. And there's a saying in D.C., if your interests are not at the table, they're probably on the table. And that is the crucial role that associations like ASA play in the industry. Because right now, ASA is the only national association with a presence in Washington, D.C. And we are there literally every day on Capitol Hill through our Washington representative. In fact, Dan Risley, our president and executive director, and Roy Schnepper, our current chairman, were in D.C. just last week, meeting with representatives about issues that we've been talking, most of it around the telematics idea. But even more than that, the support that is generated for things like something as simple as the service matrix that NASDAQ has in the office or in the offers the industry, ASA members actually work with them to help upgrade the OE Repair Info website, things like that, things that happen behind the scenes that maybe we don't publicize perhaps as much as we should. But all of this taken together forms that support basket, the whole package that you need to run a business.
OE Repair Information. I actually did an episode for ASA on that information. Do you have to be a member to get access to that?
No, you don't. That is available free to the industry, just as the NASDAQ matrix is.
I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Mike, are you an extension of the technical support center we all know as Garage Guru?
Most definitely. You know, I spend a lot of time there. I'm involved in all the classes that go on there. I actually host classes there, such as our ASC test prep courses. So very much so an extension of that.
Mike, you're in the shop. So what's the greatest outcome that you see from the techs and service advisors that you're spending time with?
Not only are they learning about great product, but we get to talk shop. So, like, you know, I was in a shop earlier today, and we were talking about some electrical diagnosis he was doing, and he was actually having a problem finding some schematics, and we were able to work with that and talk back and forth. So I was able to get educated on a problem he's having in the field, you know, where I can share that with others, and I can share other ideas from other people with him.
Do you actually put product in the hands of the technicians?
You have to. That's, you know, in this industry, a lot of guys are like myself. You got to touch it, feel it, play with it. You know, just telling them about features and benefits isn't going to sell it. You put it in their hands, that's going to sell it hands down.
So you take the new Wagner OEX brake pad and you put it in someone's hands. What happens?
First thing they do is say, wow. You know, and then they start asking questions about the unique design of it, the unique shape, and the purpose of that. You know, and they're very blown away by the technology that we put into it. They're amazed by it, and they're loving it.
Eyes light up, aha moments.
You bet. You bet. And why is it taking so long to get this out in the market?
And I need them, and I want it right now.
Exactly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. David, California.
To piggyback on the legislative aspects that Tony's talking about, the interesting thing that I have found, because I've been the current government relations chair for ASCCA in California, so we interact really closely with the Bureau of Automotive Repair, which is the agency that regulates us, and then also with state assembly and Senate members, and you know, lots of battles and lots of stuff we support, of course. But the interesting thing about a lot of this legislation is, generally speaking, legislation is born of someone that has an issue. And I know it's hard to believe, but the legislators aren't actually experts in everything. So they hear from this certain group of people, and what that person is saying sounds like a great idea, until industry says, hey, wait a minute, right? It is a great idea, except it's in complete conflict with something else that you, Mr. Legislator or Mrs. Legislator, are completely unfamiliar with. We've had more than one case where, you know, we've had legislation moving along, and it comes to our attention because we, as Bob Redding is in Washington, we have Jack Maladonoff in Sacramento. This information will come to us that we have to start making phone calls and meet with legislators to make sure they understand the unintended consequences of what they're doing, on, you know, what it will do to our specific industry, and more importantly, to our customers and clients, right? I mean, that's the bottom line is, not only do we have to protect our industry, we have to protect our customers and consumers of our industry, because otherwise neither of us will exist.
Give me an idea of a proposed law that you guys worked your butt off to be sure it did, or a proposal that didn't become law, that would have really been totally chaotic and off the charts.
Two examples. One was, and there are more regulation that came from law. So we in California are now mandated by the California Air Resources Board that whenever a car comes into our shop for service, we're mandated to inspect and adjust tire pressure to manufacturer's recommendation, make a note on our repair orders, right? Not a big deal, right? We're already doing that most of the time anyway when a car's in for service, right? So writing it down, whatever, no big deal. But the problem is the way the regulation was written is we must do it. So in California, as I said, with the Bureau of Automotive Repair, anything I do or my technicians do on your vehicle, they have to have your express permission, right? And it's only fair. It makes sense, except that I have to say, hey, Carm, I'm checking the tire pressure on your vehicle. And you say, no, Dave, don't do that. I do that myself. I don't want you to do that. Well, ARB says California Resource Board says I have to do it. Bar says I have to do what you say. Who do I disappoint, right?
Okay, so it was important in this case
that we had someone at the table.
Well, so this this regulation came through, right, because it was part of an omnibus global warming bill. So as this, you know, nobody's asking anybody about this regulation. It's going on by bureaucrats. And then it comes out and we said, hey, wait a minute, right? We have to – this is how it works here in California. I know you don't know that, ARB. Why would you? So we were able to get that modified and changed so that it was palatable and doable for us. So you can say, no, I have to write down that you declined that I can do that. But in, you know, the other funny thing about it was the only penalty in this omnibus bill was $250,000 fine or 5 years in jail, whichever come or which is ever more per incident, right? So that's four tires on your car, right? I don't do it. Write it down. It's $1 million or 20 years in jail. So we changed that too.
I am thankful that you caught that. Bob Redding's in Washington doing stuff for ASA. I don't have to be a member. It's already happening. So my question to the people that are going to listen to the podcast saying, hey, Carm, thanks for having the association guys in there and telling us all the great values that they're doing for us. I don't have to be a member. The point that I believe that exists is it goes on to government advocacy, resources, the quality of networking, the peers, the teams. There's so much learning when these meetings come together. And I think that's a missing part of the training and the camaraderie that exists in the industry. So, Tony, I'm the guy who's sitting on the sidelines saying, thanks for all you're doing. I don't need to be a member. Convince me.
Well, there's a simple rule that my father always used to tell me, if you don't vote, shut up. Okay. While what ASA does and other associations do is on behalf of the entire industry, that's true. You can certainly choose to sit by the sidelines and let someone else do it all for you. But when we're talking about things like, best practices, ethics, being part of something greater than yourself, and boil it down to simple enlightened self-interest. You know, we look at things from a national level and a state level. Our example would be the PMBI programs right now that are under assault across the country. ASA is fighting the politicians who want to revoke these things purely to save money. Give them something positive they can say to their constituents. Look, I just saved you all this money. You don't have to fix your cars every year. There are pictures posted on the International Automotive Technicians Network every day of horror stories of vehicles coming in. It's pulling to the left all of a sudden. Yeah, because your right rotor is completely gone. Okay, that's how bad your vehicle's been neglected. This is a matter of public safety. Okay. If you think about the stakes of having highly automated driver assist systems like we have now, it's a great social experiment. We're basically conditioning people, numbing down their reflexes, if you will, because the vehicle itself corrects for their mistakes. Isn't it more important, if you're depending on that, to keep you from running into the guardrail when you hit that corner in the rain a little bit too fast, to make sure that those systems are operating properly? Okay, so these are the kinds of things that legislation is being written about. And again, while some may say, well, you know what, you'll do this no matter what. Well, yeah, to a point we will, but without support, we can't do it for very long. None of this stuff is free. It is by the support from the membership dues, from our partners in the organization. That money goes to fund these types of things. And, you know, at some point, again, most people really want to stand for something. And that's kind of at the heart of what we're talking about here. It's not just a zero-sum game where this will be done no matter whether I participate or not. Yes, it will get done, but maybe it won't because for a lack of resources.
So I'm hearing that because I'm an independent business person, I need this representation. I need these supply partners at a higher level to be on my team.
And we need you to be involved to make sure that we are hearing your specific concerns. Again, we can look at things at a national level, but you know, often things are very different at the state level. Dave's example was a great one. And I think that what you miss out by not being part of this is it's entirely possible we'll miss an unintended consequence.
We did have one a couple years ago that was a problem.
Bingo. So even if you're not involved, again, if you're not at the table, you're probably on the table. And I think that's why you need to be involved. It's more important than ever before. If for no other reason as a businessman, you need a source of information to keep up with the changes. That also is part and parcel of what association membership provides. So you can say, well, it'll happen no matter what I do. That's true. But it will happen without your input and, frankly, without your understanding. And if
You know, if you're perfectly, you know, this is America. If you really want to die in ignorance, knock yourself out. But
I have to tell you a great story. Legislative summits. Do you have them?
Oh, yes.
And I was talking to someone who went to one of yours, and I said, how was it? He said, I am so happy I belong to ASA because it really changed how I viewed the government. It changed how I viewed associations because I had a chance to go there into the halls, the halls of Congress, and see how it worked and understand it. And he says, and for that, I'll always be grateful and want to, you know, keep my membership going because I know the great work that they're doing. And I am not sure we all know and understand that if we don't do a lot of things, the government's going to be too involved in us, because you just said the right thing about where the ADAS systems on the cars are going to help us and assist. The government will want to be assisting us in everything that we do. Think of all the HR legislation that we have that we probably stopped some really crazy stuff in years past.
The more automated systems become, the more dependent our drivers become on them. And the more that the politicians perceive this, then it's entirely possible. Why should I get involved? Well, because it's entirely possible that somewhere down the road, they're going to pass legislation that imposes the same kind of rules and restrictions on people that work on vehicles, on passenger vehicles, that now exist for people that work on airplanes. Okay, it is that critical of a endeavor.
We actually had an interview here with the NASTAF group, and we got into that exact thing. So I just, you know, what I'm kind of liking, you know, I am in the pole position to know everybody that I've interviewed so far, and I have truly loved where all of the dialogue is going, and I think the vision episodes are going to stitch together, you know, like a well-read book.
You know, to build on what Tony's talking with the ADIS stuff, ASA, we had a great, because I'm also on the Mechanical Operations Committee for ASA, so we had a great get-together in Detroit. The Telematics and Technology Forum, where we saw the demonstration of the new ADIS systems and what it's going to take to, you know, keep these systems calibrated and adjusted, and, you know, building on that to the legislation that's coming along behind these things. And if you're not part of an association, how else are you going to find out about this, right? Because now we're talking about, hey, we need training here, so let's get these people to start training us, the suppliers, the manufacturers. And if it doesn't come to you in your association newsletter, email, you know, however you choose to be communicated with, you're not going to know. And here comes this car is going to show up at your front door with a broken windshield, and you're going to put a windshield in it, not knowing that camera needs to be calibrated, and the car's going to go away with all these warning lights on, and you're going to go, what? And now you're going to be doing it probably for free. Hopefully nobody gets hurt in the process. So it's huge, right? This educational opportunity is totally missed if it's not coming to you in some fashion.
Kudos to ASA, because I was at the Detroit.
It was great.
Connected Car Show.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah.
It was off the charts. There was so much education, and it was almost one of those, you know, awe-inspiring, mouth-dropping moments that those couple of days. And, you know, I give credit to you guys. You really saw the future and set up the kind of information that makes you think more strategically about your business. And it was an association event. And if you weren't involved in the association and you didn't get an invite to go, you would have, you're missing out on so much future think.
I think engagement is the key. If you're going to be in business and you choose to be disengaged from your industry, then how can you possibly be successful? Things are changing too quickly. We're not doing business the way we did, 5 months ago, probably. Certainly not 5 years ago. And we are reinventing business models as we speak. And that is part and parcel of what ASA helps our members do, is to not just see what's coming, okay, but see what's possible. And it's all a question of preparation. We as an industry have been coping with things that everyone has been saying are going to put us out of business since the first automatic transmission rolled down the line. Okay. Disc brakes. Oh, my God. Yep. You know.
Electronic ignition.
Oh, Lord. You know.
And then we put computers in those cars.
Yeah.
Oh, we're done.
And, you know, and at every turn, and this vision show is a prime example of the individuals who are here get it. Okay. This is what you need to do. It is a lifelong learning experience, and you need to be engaged. And that, again, that engagement, that access that I mentioned earlier, is part and parcel of what an association membership provides. You can't get it anywhere else. You can certainly do it on your own, and many do, okay? But we can help make it easier. You do have a business to run. And again, having an association help you understand what's next is critical to long-term survival.
I love what you just said, because there's a lot of outsiders buying our businesses today. And, you know, there's some money coming in, some entrepreneurs that love what they see in the industry. So they'll buy 2, 3, 4 shops, put a little 4-branch service group together, and they're outsiders. They need all the help in the world. And I've interviewed a few of them, and they credit that part of the knowledge that they learned in an industry they didn't know anything about was association membership.
Sure. And I think Dana finds that out every day when we talk to our members.
And you know, going back to your original question that started all this is, I'm a independent shop owner. I'm going to get many of the benefits without joining. Why join? One of the things that happens, and we've been talking at a higher level at the national level and the state level, but at the local level, you know, within maybe like you could look at a city area like Kansas City, Overland Park, but even within just the Overland Park area, association members get together at those chapter meetings, and they don't see that fellow businessman there as their competitor. They see them as, if we all work together to be the very best in the industry in our community, then that helps all of us. They work together to make sure that the consumers know that it's important to go to a shop that's going to follow a code of ethics, that's going to stay up to date on training, so that they're getting the best possible results of their business transaction. And sometimes it's as simple as, I was talking to a shop owner a couple of weeks ago that owns a shop in Gainesville, Florida, and she was talking about how she decorates her waiting area for her customers and how important it is for her to have impeccably clean bathrooms. Another shop owner said, oh yeah, I've got customers that stop by on the way to somewhere because they know my bathrooms are always going to be clean. We're raising the standards, and it's those association members that are raising the standards. And so if you want to benefit from that, then you need to be a part of the association.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more on that, Dana. Cecil Bullard, another alumni, is one of the many lessons I learned from him is a rising tide raises all ships, right? So, and you're absolutely right. When we're at our local chapter meeting in San Jose, you know, having that exposure to others that are experiencing what we're experiencing and being not only receiving help but giving help, right? I mean, I use this example a lot. Another alumni, my good friend Pete Rudloff, I'm in California, right? He's in Delaware. It's hard to get farther apart across the country, but we had a Chrysler product that was in the shop, and the vehicle owner had actually shot the car. He shot the trunk, and it wouldn't stay closed now, right? Every time you start the car, the trunk popped open. So we were trying to figure out, I came from the body shop, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with this car, and it was a stumper. It was a tough one. Well, Pete's probably the most, you know, foremost Chrysler guy I know in the country. He's a phone call away, right? And I say, hey, Pete, it's Dave. Here's what's going on. And we chatted, and he gave me some ideas, and we fixed the car. You know, and it, without that connection, we'd still be probably trying to fix that car. I mean, eventually we would have got it, but how much time and energy do we save?
Okay, but he's a ASA. You're a
SCCA.
ASCCA.
Yeah. Dave's also an ASA.
But I'm an ASA member as well.
Okay,
exactly.
I got it. Okay, yeah, great, yeah. Dave. So there's the value of the network.
Clearly, I see the value of associations, right?
You know, that's an important point to make. You know, the associations work together. ASA and ASCCA have a wonderful relationship. We work with all of the other associations in the industry, some at the state level, some at the national level, mostly on the collision side. But, you know, we're all dealing with common interests, and we're all dealing with common challenges. And it's that, I guess we used to call it networking. That is a very valuable aspect of membership, that you get the kind of resources that Dave just described. You meet individuals that you may not have run into under any other circumstances, that now you've not only got a lifelong friend, but again, you've got someone you can call when you have a problem.
Exactly.
And makes all the difference in the world between fixing it and having a happy customer cost effectively, or throwing your hands up and sending them back to the dealer.
Yeah, and that's bringing that national, state level stuff, as Dennis said, down to my back door, right? I mean, literally my shop. So, and we do, Nia, we work with ASA. We're currently working. There's privacy legislation going on in D.C. surrounding connected cars and such, and we're working with ASA on that with an amendment that's coming in. We work in, you know, I'll use the alphabet, right? CAWA, CAA, so it's a California Automotive Wholesalers Association, California Auto Body Association, California Automotive Business Coalition, right? We all work together in California because we are having the same challenges, and it's kind of pointless to all of us run the same direction separately, right? Let's run together, work together. And Jack Maladonoff, again, is, you know, lobbyist for us, for CAA, for CAWA, and he has the opportunity, talking back to membership, of saying, hey, I represent this number of people, not this number here, this number here, and this number here, but this group of people of these associations. And wouldn't it be great if he could walk into a legislator's office and say, hey, I represent over 150,000 business owners in the state, rather than, you know, 10 or 12,000. What a huge difference that would be. So if there's no other reason to be part of your association, same thing with Bob in D.C., if there's no other reason to do it, that's the reason, right? They legitimately say, here's the voices I represent, and they vote, and here's what we would like. And that's horsepower.
Otherwise, if we don't get engaged, we don't get involved, and we don't work together, the special interest groups take over. And you generally have a lot more money than we do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Voice has to be heard. Dana, so I pay my dues. I don't care what it is. It's just a number. The supplier, the partner, the benefits far outweigh that at the end of the year that would come back to you?
Yes. I actually met someone, walked up to me. I was at Max 2 weeks ago in Florida, and someone walked up to me at one of the receptions, didn't know who I was, and said, you know, the fact that ASA has my back, is representing me in Washington, is keeping an eye on the industry for what's going to affect me, that would be worth $1,000 a year to me. That's not what our dues are. They're not anywhere near that. That was the most important thing to her. Some of our members, it's actually a spreadsheet. It's these are the benefits that affect my bottom line, the cash that I get back, the discounts that I get, and it's, you know, three times what I pay in membership every year. Everybody's looking for a different
thing. So people really will put a number to it.
Oh, yeah.
If you take advantage of even one or two of the benefits that ASA provides, you cover your dues by several orders of magnitude. It's not hard to do. If you're spending any money at all on parts, that one of those programs alone will rebate you or credit you back more than your dues are.
Can I assume that that's the top vendor benefit?
No.
So strangely enough, yeah.
So we have in California, we have an endorsed insurance provider. So they are exclusive.
What kind of insurance?
All
health.
Yes.
Really?
You can buy health. Yes. So
you guys don't do health, do you?
No, that's California.
California's got different
still
laws.
Can't cross state
still can't
lines.
Cross state
right,
lines.
Yeah. I buy my workers' compensation insurance, my shop, you know, my garage keeper's insurance, and my health insurance through them. And oh, by the way, because of an agreement with CAWA, we get a killer discount on dental insurance as well. So I can get all of that through our endorsed provider. The credit card, we have an endorsed, you know, exclusive agreement with a credit card provider that we get. I mean, the rates are the rates, but what they do is kick back $350 of our dues back to us at the end of the year. They write me a $350 check every year in December. It's Merry Christmas. And then we also have endorsed exclusive agreement with a uniform supplier, right? So the money that I get from the credit card supplier, the money I saved on my insurance, the money I saved on my uniforms, is way more than I pay in dues. I mean, I actually make money by being a member, right? I mean, this is a no-brainer.
If everyone
so you can't
see,
tell me you can't afford it.
I'm animating. I'm standing up. My hands are in the air, and I'm saying, duh.
I thought he was having a seizure, right?
And here Dave is convincing me that whatever number it is that I put down, I'm going to get the ROI. It'd be like, it's like being a day trader.
I'm making money. Exactly. It pays. I get paid to be an ASECA member, right? It's just a no-brainer. Now, would everybody have the same experience? Maybe not, right? I mean, if your brother-in-law is doing your insurance, maybe our guys can't save you money. I don't know. But that's my specific example, and it certainly would be worth looking
at. So how do you guys get new members? You phone call? You visit?
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing everything. Dana's actually exploring several new ideas with some. We're having meetings here, in fact, to look at some of those.
Okay.
So we've actually just started a new program this year, which we're calling our membership liaison program. So historically, so we years past had a dedicated membership person similar to Dana, but this being not nationwide, we could actually have go to shops, right? This person would go to shops and sign members, and they got paid to do that. It became financially unavailable for that to happen for a while, but we have created a new program. So we have currently three liaisons that they are compensated for gaining members, but it's boots on the ground. And historically, that's the best way that we've been able to gain members, is actually have a industry partner or a former shop owner go to the shop and say, hey, I live your life, and here's why you need a member of this association, and here's what we do. Right. And it, we've just started it. So far it's been okay. We'll see how successful it is, but I have great hopes it's going to be phenomenally successful.
And for us, since we're nationwide, some of our partners, that's what they can do for us. They can be our sales force for us, going, because they're already going and visiting all the shops. So if they can say, hey, I don't see an ASA sign anywhere. I don't know if you know about ASA. Here's some ASA information. And by the way, because of our partnership with ASA, if I can save you money on this deal that I'm about to cut on uniforms or parts or insurance or whatever. So we can use them as our boots on the ground.
Do deals like that close, Dana?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We have two states right now. We're here in what is the ASA Midwest area. So we have an affiliate here in Midwest that represents six states: Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. They touch. So they have an executive director in Sherry Hamilton, and they also have some resources there. But we have a couple of states, or actually have several states, including two large ones, California and New York. We don't have a state affiliate. We don't have any chapters. It's our partners that are going and getting us our members, and they're some of our fastest growing states.
I live in New York. I live in New York State, and I'm on a business panel there. And the things that they're talking about is where an association can help them. And so I'm at a loss. And hopefully you're working on something, guys.
And we are. I just had a conversation again with one of our partners that we think we have a plan specifically to use in New York and California.
Well, how cool. I'm excited about that. I want to hear all about it, please. Tony, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier. And by the way, I'm working on getting to your spring meeting and actually doing a town hall live on this whole inspection.
We're looking forward to that.
I can't wait. And so in preparing for that, because I always research, I sat down with a bunch of shop owners, and I went around the room and I says, so tell me about state inspections. Which of your states have them? No. New York, yes. And I can't remember the other ones that I said. And are they really valuable? And the guy from New York says this. Been to Florida? Yeah. He says, and when I go, I see more cars on the side of the road with wheels looking like that. There is so much broke down stuff in Florida, and they don't think it's important.
You could do a whole show just on war stories of cars like that. And I'm in California. We don't have snow, and we still see cars like that. So places in the country like New York where you deal with the weather patterns, I can't imagine what goes on. We could do a whole show on that if you want.
Well, we're seeing it every year,
yeah.
And we're fixing it. And obviously, we've got to have a better safety record for our vehicles on our roads. I mean, there's a lot of stupidity in how people drive. You don't want the mechanics of the vehicle to contribute to that. And, someone told me that one of the states figured out, well, listen to me, they were charging $5. It was costing them so much for the sticker, and they were only making a dollar. And they decided if they added up all the cost that it took to manage it, they promoted it to the people and said, hey, we're stopping state inspections, and we're going to save the state $5 million because of what the raw costs of it were. What a terrible way to sell the concept.
But what was the price of increased insurance costs, injuries, loss of life, right? How do we weigh that cost?
Just think how much money you could save if you're an airliner, if you didn't have to pay for those seatbelts that everybody,
yeah.
Listen, the part of the problem with PMBI programs is, and I grew up in the state of Pennsylvania. As far as I was concerned, that program had been around since before I was born. So I never really knew. I grew up never really knowing anything other than periodic check with the vehicle. And every time you took the car in, it wasn't necessarily a problem. In fact, it might have been a light bulb out, something like that. Most of the time, it was fine. But every so often, you found out something. The brakes are working fine. Yeah, they are working fine. and they'll be working fine for about another 2 weeks. Then you're going to have a problem. Guess what? Your next inspection isn't until 6 months. They used to do it twice a year. So it would catch problems before they became something that potentially could be, you know, could be a safety issue. The problem with – there has been research done that has shown that safety inspections do have an impact. But it's tough to prove what didn't happen. How do you know how many times that you kept an accident from happening because of a safety check program? You saw that brake pad that was wearing at an angle, which indicated another problem that maybe it was transparent to the driver, or the fact that they had adapted to the fact that, yeah, it occasionally pulls left when I step on the brake. I just steer it a little bit right. Well, that's great when you're coming to a slow stop, but if you suddenly have to have a panic stop, that could throw the car completely out of control. They don't think – consumers tend not to think through this stuff. And it's even more true today. You know, when most consumers open the hood of their car, what do they see? Another hood.
Yeah. A lot of plastic.
Because there's nothing – they don't feel there isn't anything they can touch. It's even more important – again, and I'd use the ADAS systems as an example. It's even more important than it ever has before because they are built better. Parts do last longer. Systems do operate much more safely. And they'll actually compensate for wear. So it's even more important that the vehicle be periodically checked by a qualified expert to make sure that everything is operating as it should, because so much depends on the entire system working together than it ever did before. Mechanical systems are very forgiving. Electronic systems, not so much.
It's interesting that you talk about the state that thought they were saving money and how great it was. Right now, Uber and Lyft and whatever rideshare programs there are that out there, you know, and in Texas it was a big issue about how are we going to regulate them, either by the city or state. You want those vehicles to be, you know, that they've been inspected and they're safe for people to get into. So on the one hand, you're wanting to be sure that the car you're getting into to allow somebody else to drive you is a safe automobile. Why wouldn't you and as many people as use those, that's still just a drop in the bucket to somebody going and getting in their own vehicle and driving down the road. Why wouldn't you want that vehicle also inspected for safety?
More importantly, why wouldn't you want the car next to you?
Yeah, inspected for safety. Yeah.
To be safe, right?
Yeah.
You know, it isn't for the people that are doing it right. It's for the people who aren't doing it at all that you need these programs.
This is such a healthy dialogue, Tony, and I know we got to get into it in depth in May when we get out to Orlando, but I can't help but think that that's the hook to get universal USA inspections going on. If it's good for Uber and Lyft, it's got to be good for us.
You know, if you look at every major fleet in the country, whether it's a rental car fleet, truck fleet, they all have preventive maintenance and vehicle inspection programs as part of their normal maintenance routine. And actually, a number of shops out there do offer consumers at a price a safety check every so often. I take advantage of it myself with my family cars at least twice a year in the spring and in the fall. Look it over. I don't care if it costs me $50. Tell me if that fan belt looks like, or that hose, or those brakes don't look good, or, you know, its tire looks a little funny. Whatever. I know I'm having a professional take a look at it, just like going to the doctor. You know, I feel fine. Let's make sure that that's true.
So I talked to Greenwood earlier, Bob. He was in there with Bill Haas. We were doing something on, you know, Coach's perspective on the future shop. And, you know, I think it was then, or was it at lunch, you know, Bob went on a rant about, you know, having a comprehensive vehicle inspection. Absolutely. That you charge for. Could cost $150, kind of almost even more than a pre-used car inspection. What do you think of that, Dave?
I think it's a great idea, and at AutoTrain we've been doing that for years, right? So our standard service is what I call our 6 month, 6,000 mile vehicle maintenance and inspection service, right? And you know, yes, we changed it on the filter, but it's that front to back, top to bottom inspection as well. It isn't cheap. But, you know, what's more expensive, as Tony was saying, right, when I tell my guys all the time, we're never going to get that phone call of hi, I just had my car there and I'm on the side of the road because the belt broke. Because we're going to say, well, remember, Carm, we talked about that last time you were in, right? So, and we chose not to do it then. So, you know, that's never going to happen to me. So we constantly, my customers and clients, we always work with them on that.
Okay, I'm a legislator. And I happen to also be a shop owner. And I know that the big trend in the service industry is digital vehicle inspections.
Right.
And I know that the shop owners that adopt them are doing incredible safety inspections on every car that comes in. Why do I need legislation? It's going to happen. Nature will find a way. Agree or disagree?
Disagree. the people that, that we're doing these inspections on are in services are they're predisposed to do it, right? They want us to do it. They want to know. They want to get to Lake Tahoe to go skiing safely and make it home. People that aren't predisposed or just, you know, or don't care, right? Either whatever it is, right? It doesn't happen. Those are the ones that have to be forced to do it.
So you're saying that a shop that adopts the technology, the paperless technology with the tablets, are not going to do every car?
Right. We'll do every car that comes through the door, but I can't make every car come through the door, right? I mean, the guy that changes his own oil in his driveway, right?
You know, if 80% of the cars in the next shops in the next 5 years adopt this, we've almost self-policed inspections.
Almost,
the
yes.
The problem is the shops may adopt it, but it's like Dave was saying, 80% of the shops may adopt it. That doesn't mean 80% of the cars on the road
right.
are going to be taking advantage
right.
of that.
Legislation is compensation for human nature. Okay, that's the problem. It's great when you take the human out of the loop, but the problem is most consumers don't, unfortunately, take care of their vehicles.
And don't get me wrong, I'm a you know leave me alone kind of guy, but at the same time, certain things need to be regulated, and I mean you know we have speed limits for a reason. You know, so
everybody stop on red,
right?
Okay,
right.
We agreed to that.
And I think one of the things too is the people that would most likely not voluntarily go and get their cars inspected are probably the people driving cars that wouldn't be that have
that
problems and wouldn't be able to pass an inspection.
I've so enjoyed this. I know we've went to a million different places. I think the key is member benefits, networking, government advocacy. I may have missed one or two. Let's go around the room. Give me some final thoughts about the value of associations. Dana?
Joining an association like ASA, you are saying, I am one of the professional shops out there that are going to be the leaders in the industry, and I'm part of that group.
Thank you, David.
Leaders in the industry, I firmly believe that in California, auto repair would look very, very different today than it does if we weren't, if ASCCA wasn't there fighting the battles over the last, some of the huge things that came in the last 10 or 15 years. We would be a whole lot less shops and, you know, maybe changing light bulbs and tires because everything else would have been taken off our plate.
Got it. Thank you. Tony, last word.
Strength in numbers. We are stronger when we work together than when we don't. And enlighten self-interest. You know, I have my own personal interests in my own little world. I want to make sure that they're being heard. Associations can do that for you.
Thank you, team. Hey, thanks to my association roundtable, Tony Mala, Dave Kusa, and Dana Cosby. Thank you for the enlightenment on associations. No doubt we need the support that your associations bring to the industry, and we need to thank the many volunteer leaders who give of their time to make our association strong. Hey, I'm glad you stopped by to sharpen your learning curve on associations. Show notes are at remarkableresults.biz/E321. Hey, have you reviewed the catalog of Town Hall Academy titles? Well, find them at remarkableresults.biz/academy. As of this moment in time, there are over 60 single subject lessons that will make a huge difference in your business, and it grows by one per week. Your learning curve never sounded so good. Jump in with both feet and make the podcast an important part of your daily commute or exercise regime. Get in touch with me, carm@remarkableresults.biz. Hey, thanks for being here, and talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.